So there is some cultural context to that, though, right?
Oh, please tell me.
So Japan is an incredibly sexually repressed country when it comes to media, especially, or just like in life as a whole. Like, they are super culturally, or not culturally, but sexually repressed. Like, it is modesty is what you see. So when you have what happens in cultures that tend to be sexually repressed, they tend to act out, if you will, mm-hmm. in media. So in paintings, and like, you saw this in like Europe and stuff like that, painting like artists and stuff like that, the stuff would be like super vulgar, acting out, because when you have like a super conservative Christian ruling party that is basically telling you that this, people are going to act out in these things. Take, for instance, like in Japan, like the whole hentai thing that started from like ukiyo-e paintings and such way back in the day. Like, they tend to trace back like tentacle porn specifically, hentai, to one specific painting. And it's The Fisherman's Wife, if I remember correctly. Basically, it's just a painting of a woman being, I don't know if she's being molested or if this is consensual, with her and an octopus. And from that one painting, that kind of grew into this hentai thing. Right. So like, this is one of the things like where you see so much of when it acts out. So like, that's why you see so many like weirdly pervy characters. And like, the old pervy dude, I thought it was a trope, but then I went to Japan and I saw it in like real life, and I was like, oh, this is based off. That was a thing, dude. It almost got to the point where me and my boy, so we're on the train, and so I've been to Japan twice for those mm-hmm. of you. So first time we went, we had no cultural context to any of it. Like, we watched anime and that was about it. we watched anime and that's about as far as it went. So we went over there, and like, we got on the subway. That was something that we were not used to, was the lack of personal space. Everybody, you get on the train and everybody basically, it's accepted by everyone. We're all going home, trying to get to where we need to get to. So we're just going to shove. So we shove in and that's it. Right.
Yeah.
So me and my boy, I'm 6 foot, he's 6'2", both black men. And we're like, we need our personal bubble. Right. And get on the train. And it's like, try to keep it almost a foot between us, and we're standing face to face on the train with people packed behind and to the side of us. And we get on the train, and this little schoolgirl is running down the platform and just shoves herself right in between the two of us. And it was just like, that was just the norm. Now, we started to notice the weird old pervy dudes that would like be sitting there, and they're like rubbing themselves on like women and young girls and stuff like that. And like, the first time we went over, like, it was like, we were like, yo, you gotta chill. We will throw you out of here. Like, if I gotta go to jail in Japan, I'll have a good story as to why it happened. But it was like, you would see this just weird stuff where they're like super pervy and gropey. And since people are so squished together in the train, like, it makes it easier for them to do it. Uh-huh. And also, since it's a culture that's so much about not making a scene, they just wouldn't say anything. They would just sit there and get groped. It was like, what? I had to like make
like friends. Like, it was normal.
People. Yeah, I had to like make friends with Japan, to make friends with people in Japan, because I had so many questions after I got back, and I was like, I don't want to be ignorant to it when I speak about it. So I was like, all right. So, and they were like, oh yeah, this is a thing. That's why you see the signs. You see signs everywhere about it, where they're like, yeah, if you see something, say something. Basically, kind of thing. So
about groping,
about like, you see stuff about like Yakuza and things of that nature. You see signs about if you're sick, stay home. So basically, what we have, the signs that we have out right now, Japan's been on that for decades. Same thing with China and most of the other East Asian countries. So yeah, so like, that was a weird thing. So like, there's usually truth, some sort of truth, in most stereotypes and tropes are based off of something, right?
Okay.
And a lot of times when we see tropes in Japanese anime, they tend to be based off of like weirdly skewed truths, like real examples of things. And yeah, like that, like some stuff where it's just like there's no basis for it. So like some of the racist stuff in especially when it comes to people of African descent in anime, like you can, and not just, I mean, really it's darker skinned people, period. Because like if you watch for instance, was it Joe? It's not Hajime no Ippo, but Ippo did fight a Thai fighter who was portrayed as like dirty and basically drawn like an animal almost with animalistic features, could barely speak to his manager. But the champion Joe, but he was, this was the anime that was the precursor to Hajime no Ippo.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in Hajime no Ippo, wasn't there a Muhammad Ali inspired character?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I can't, right off the top of my head, I can't. But yeah, so I was talking about Ashita no Joe, which is basically translated to Champion Joe. And it is this, it was the same thing there. Like, and because this anime came out in the 80s, but like you had like these weirdly racist, you know, they're drawn with the super dark skin with the super big, like thick pink lips. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it, yeah, that part sucks. Yeah. But that's, and the thing that sucks about that is that's based directly off of American racism. So there, a lot of the media that they got about people of African descent and like African Americans was, you know, America's renditions of it. So when you bring TV shows and you bring movies over to Japan that have these super racist blackface caricatures of black people, that became part of their, how they saw, like that's basically how, the portrayal was. Mm-hmm. Portrayal continued to be up until recently. Like it's just probably been within like the past 6 years where you've seen a concerted effort for them to not have these crazy racist stereotypes when it comes to like facial features and stuff. You have characters of African descent that, you know, are drawn anatomically accurately. And, you know, the characters are actually given real personalities as opposed to weird savage personalities. Mr. Popo, and folks will, like as Hector said, Mr. Popo was one of them. And people will still be like, oh, he's an alien. He's not based off of, I was like, no, I can show you a gollywog right now. And if you can sit here and tell me that this is not based off of that, then you obviously do not know. Like you're just trying to not be.
I can even sum it up even simpler. If it wasn't supposed to be that, why did Funimation change the animation for him to be purple as opposed to how he originally was drawn?
Right.
Let's just leave it at that.
For those of you that don't know what a gollywog is.
Okay, there you go. Oh,
that is a gollywog.
That is a gollywog.
So the dark skin, purely black, with the red lips, you know, which, shout out to pro wrestling. This was exactly what happened with ACH. They made a shirt that basically looked like this and be like, oh, it's not racist. Stop. So, but yeah, like you had a lot of that. So it's just recently that they've started to actually have like African characters. Like Fire Force has a character named Ogun who is of Nigerian descent. So like for me, I was like, oh, new favorite character. You know, he doesn't look like a crazy caricature or anything like that. They did go stereotypical and they gave him spears as his weapon, but it looks dope, so I'm okay with it. It's respectful, so I'm all right. But yeah,
was like it to benefit his Nigerian heritage?
But yeah, there. We'll go with that. We'll go with
that. We're going to save the animation people. There you go.
Yeah. But
okay, so we've seen changes in the way African characters are depicted in anime. Right. But one thing we were going to talk about last night or yesterday on Demon and Dio was about the way that LGBTQ characters are portrayed in anime historically versus now, and in animation cartoons in general, where when we were younger, any character that was portrayed as flamboyant, a Bishoujo, you know, to be that kind of the pretty boy androgynous character, automatically was either evil, a mastermind, or just the pretty boy sidekick. It wasn't until, for me, it wasn't until Yu Yu Hakusho came out, where Kurama portrayed as this redheaded, gentle, you know, gentle fox boy in his, I guess, his human form. He's portrayed as very feminine because he has a rose whip. He uses plants. He's a mama's boy.
I thought it was a woman when I first, because I jumped into Yu Yu Hakusho, not in the beginning. So like I jumped in, I was like, oh yeah, who's this redhead chick? Because that's
how a lot of people's thoughts. Yeah.
Because that's how the character was coded. So
I think you hit the nail on the head with the word coding. I think the coding of characters, it's just, it needs to stop.
Yeah, like it's been an issue, and it's been an issue not just in anime. It's been an issue in every form of media, of moving media, I should say. So cartoons, TV shows, movies, things like that, right? And all too often, characters that are queer, whether they be gay, lesbian, or we'll keep it to three, gay, lesbian, or transsexual, or transgendered rather, right? We'll put crossdressers in as well. So they have been portrayed as evil of some sort, right?
Yes.
Like, go back to most, you know, especially like in the 80s and early 90s, like the evil person always had, like if it was a man, always had effeminate, like super effeminate mannerisms and features and stuff like that. Like we were talking about, you talked about Samurai Showdown earlier. One of the characters, Amakusa, was like based off of a kind of sort of based off of a historical character, but like it was, that's not how the character was in, you know, as in real life, or how people, or how, you know, people like that would have been. But they just made this character evil and queer for a while.
An over the top queer evil character
is how, like, super over the top that too. So yeah, it was just very
him
very,
from the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, him also, look, him still the greatest, one of the greatest characters of all time. That's one of my, I have the Funko Pop out in my living room. But yeah, it was literally this. Him was evil, queer, cross-dressing, you know, yeah.
Checked all the boxes of the villain.
Checked all the boxes of the villain. Think of Nip Tuck, right? So there was a character in Nip Tuck that was a therapist that was sleeping with, so ended up sleeping with a minor. You know, was this devious, you know, sexual deviant that was sleeping with a minor, and then went to, like, slept with what was like basically like his uncle, and then the big surprise was, ooh, this person's actually trans. And they're evil, because like that was why they did it, because they were, you know, it was like, this is lazy. It's lazy more than anything else, but it's destructive, because whether people like to admit it or not, what we see in the media is what we start to see people as, right?
Yes.
Like, you and I have talked about it before. As much as we like Law and Order, Law and Order has been so bad for people of color.
It's problematic, so bad.
Like, there were no black characters in the show, basically, that were not criminals for the longest time. Same thing with Hispanic, like almost every single episode that they had. So you'd have like seven episodes where the bad guys were black or Hispanic, And then you have the random, like the one white serial killer type dude. And it was like, this is bad. Even though the numbers in real life don't show this. Uh-huh. But yeah, like you had it there. You had it all across the board. You would always have like these characters that were coded as evil. Or if they were evil, they were just coded queer. They weren't, it wasn't just outright, oh yeah, this person's queer. But it's like, oh yeah, we know what you guys are trying to put across here. And mm-hmm. that sticks with people. Like, yeah. You know, you take, if you ingest stuff that much, it's going to start to warp your reality on things. And like, you know, if you were to only watch movies and stuff like that, you would think that everybody in Africa is still walking around in grass skirts with spears and such.
Reminds me of the old King Kong movies.
Would think that like Native Americans all literally had red skin because of how they were portrayed in, you know, what would essentially be red face now by things. Disney with the Native Americans, or what were coded as Native Americans in Peter Pan.
You had Indians, as they were called.
You had so many like bad. And these are things that, you know, as a kid, that's what you think. You are still learning. So, like, you're taking what you take in at school. But, yeah, you're going to go and take this in as well when you are, you know, watching TV. Because you probably watch TV just as long as you are at school a lot of the times. Even when you factor in what you are watching on the weekends as well. And, like, there are so many things that I remember thinking, oh yeah, this is exactly how this is because that's how I saw it on TV. Same. You know, and in pro wrestling, that's why you have so many pro wrestling fans that think that they can fight because they think a fight is like a pro wrestling match where it's pretty static, where it's like, okay, this person punches, then that person punches, then this person punches, then that person punches.
And like, then we're going to take turns.
We're going to take turns. And it's like, nah, a real fight's chaotic. So
this isn't a JRPG. We're not going to take turns. Right.
There's no, you know, the menu doesn't pop down and you can pick your special or you can, you know, get your,
and the boss is just going to wait there.
It's going to wait there while this happens. Nah, nah. So, but yeah, like so much of what we have has been like, and I told you to watch this last night. Netflix documentary of I am horrible when it comes to remembering names and such. Laverne Disclosure.
Oh yeah, Laverne Cox.
Mm-hmm. Laverne Cox. Yeah. So you had so many of these, like either, you know, in regular TV shows where like you'd have a trans character and like there's this whole idea that they're trying to trick people into believing that they're men. And it's like, or that they're women. Is like, that's not how this works at all. And that has been like, so you see this in the media and then you go into real life and how that affects people. Because one of the main reasons that so many men end up killing trans women that they slept with is because this whole they tricked me thing, right? Or it's like, oh yeah, you are attracted to them. You had no problem having sex with them. But then after the fact, you're like, you're a man. You tricked me. Nah, like the societal, like because of these societal constructs and what we've ingested in media for so long, you know, it sets in on them. Oh no, I slept with a trans person. I'm attracted to them. This invalidates my masculinity. What if my friends find out about this? So the only way for me to nullify this is to take this person out of the picture completely. And it's like, that's one of those things where people don't realize how media affects how everything works in the real world. And this was one of those ones where it was like, yo, this is bad. Like trans women have the shortest lifespans of basically any demographic, and black trans women, especially black and Latino trans women tend to have the shortest lifespans of any groups of people in the United States of America. Like when your life expectancy is barely 30 years old, like life expectancy for people hasn't been 30 years old for probably a good 200 years now.
Right.
You know, like think about that. Like we, with the advents of medicine and learning more and more about the body, you know, the average, what's the average age people are supposed to live to is in their 70s or 80s, right?
70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now you have a group of people whose life expectancy is only in their, is not barely in their 30s. Like, think about that. That's crazy.
And it's learned behavior. We just, like we're saying, it's learned behavior. I remember when the movie The Crying Game came out.
Exactly.
The big twist, you know, that happened with the shower scene just right now, just thinking about the shower scene and the music played in the background, yep. It made it really seem as if it was evil and the trickery, like you said before, just... Right. No.
Like, yeah, it's like this person was existing. That's it. And then the whole, even because there's so many problems with that movie and even how a trans woman was portrayed, and that at the end was like, oh, you didn't know? And it was like, there's so many issues with how these things happen. And that's the thing. Because like, I remember when I was even as a kid hearing about, oh yeah, don't tell the, ending of The Crying Game, because that was like the right. big secret. That oh yeah, don't tell. It was like, and it's like, this is a lazy ass twist, super lazy twist. There's nothing. What exactly was it? You've been in love with this person all this time. How? Why does this change this? You know, and yeah, it's very strange. Like how so much of this stuff that we ingested and we don't realize that we ingest this stuff. Like looking at like the Jerry Springer Show, right? Oof. Like I remember the Jerry Springer Show and Ricky Lake, especially once Ricky Lake became like super raunchy
trash TV,
trash TV, where like that was the thing, was to have either a cross dresser or a trans person. And yeah, like it was all super toxic, and people just don't realize how much it affects us until after the fact, and hindsight's 20/20.
Well, even Family Guy spoofed this, I believe, one episode where it was like a Jerry Springer episode style episode where it's like, oh, I'm not a woman, I'm a man. I'm not a man, I'm a horse.
I'm not a horse,
I'm a stick.
It was
and then the other woman goes, I did not see that coming. So they played it for laughs, but it's to your point of it's being made to play for laughs.
Right, exactly. So that basically these people's entire existence is
a joke to you.
It's a joke to them. And like when I laughed before, like I'm laughing at the absurdity of all of this. Like how y'all go with this? Like this is absolutely absurd. There's no reason that you should be doing this, and it should be like, this should be a joke. Like this is, that's not how that works. So yeah, it's a lot. I'm glad that we are moving forward.
Yes.
If you would like to watch, since we've been talking about this the last few minutes, Disclosure is a documentary about trans people in media and in America as a whole. It's a rough watch, especially like with some of the movies that, you know, the poor portrayals of them when they talk about it. Pose is an excellent TV show. I cannot praise that show enough. And one of the things is, which this actually relates to both this and with anime, when you have genuine stories, when you have people that understand, have similar life experiences. So like when you have trans women actually writing for trans women, like that's, you're going to get genuine things. And there's another thing that happens that has started to happen recently in anime, where instead of having a woman that's like 32 years old voicing a 3-year-old character, they're actually getting 3-year-olds, 3, 4, 5-year-olds to actually voice children, and having old women voice old women, and having old men, and like having queer characters voiced by queer people. Like it, and you can tell the difference because there's more soul to the character because there's a genuineness behind it.
Right. I agree with you completely. And I feel that the next time we delve into this, because we're going to talk off air. I'm going to watch some of your recommendations. So when we reconvene, we can actually have a more open discussion about this, because what started off as an episode about anime tropes and such has now become something that I want to dive a little bit deeper on going forward. And I would implore all of our listeners and those viewing right now on the stream to take Dio's recommendations, watch them, let us know what you thought of them, and then we can have a kind of our own little discourse about it, because I feel as if we need to have more discussion and less just paintbrushing. And that's another topic where Dio and I can tackle that on another day. But as always, DamonG347 on Twitter. I'm just DEO on Twitter and Instagram. The Damon G Show on Instagram, and reach the show at DamonGShow@gmail.com. Listen to the podcast version on Anchor.fm and support the show any way you can. Like, retweet. We do take donations through Cash App, PayPal, and the like. Yep. And we will talk to you soon.